What a privilege, and it's exciting to be in Idaho. Amen? And do we have any Idahoans, some natives here today? Anybody born in the great state of Idaho? Praise the Lord. And good to see you. And many of you are transplants. And isn't it great to live in the West? And I'm so thankful for that. And so I thank God for those years, as Pastor was talking about. And what a blessing. And he gave me that Green Bay Packer duffel bag this weekend, and it's a carb explosion inside, let me tell you, a carb explosion. And what a temptation, but I'm trying to do my best to stay on my low-carb, low-blood-sugar diet. But you don't have that problem, so I should just turn the bag over to you folks. And praise the Lord. You're going to line up, I know, right after church and with your hand out. But good to be here with you. I've enjoyed Pastor and, of course, his father in the many years, and the exciting day when they planted that church here. And what a great, great time you've had, and what God has blessed in so many ways. We look at the building and we're excited about that, but it's the souls that have come to Christ. That is really the goal, and that is really the testimony, and that is really the reward of serving Jesus, is seeing somebody else get saved. And then I appreciate the Voglins. What a place to stay. I've enjoyed that so much. And thank you so much for all that you've done. Thank you, church, for standing with me and being kind to me this weekend. And this is the most important time, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And everything's downhill from there. But Sunday morning, Sunday night, be faithful. Be faithful. Be here on Thursday night. And I love that, Thursday night. Back in Milwaukee when we planted that church in 1986, hard to believe this year, they're celebrating 40 years. But when we planted that church, we started that church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Thursday night. And our people loved it. And I thank God for all that history that God gave us. I stayed 30 years, and thank God for what God has done there. And then I pastored another church, was a youth pastor, associate pastor, and then finally the pastor of another church there in the Milwaukee area. So I spent over 40 years in the Milwaukee area, a long ways from where I was born in California. And I know that the last 8 years that I've spent up in Montana, I know I should not bring up the word California, but you might get shot. But we thank the Lord for all the years that I grew up in a preacher's home and around church planting and around the old-fashioned, old-time religion. And I thank God for those years. But now, we have recently moved to Salt Lake City, my wife and I, and so we're having a great time. We get to go to our son-in-law's church there and get to be around our grandchildren and our oldest daughter at Anchor Baptist Church. And the church sends their greetings. They're excited about your summer camp, and we're excited that we're going to be able to bring some young people and maybe some adults. You call it also a family camp. And so looking forward to this summer and to your camp. And that's a great tribute to you folks, as we've been searching for a good camp to send our young people to, and that you have that camp. So keep it up, and let's believe God for greater days ahead. If he tarries, he's coming. We are living in great days, sad days, hard days, wicked days, but also great days. People are being saved. And the most exciting place you can be right now is in a brand new Bible-believing baby church plant somewhere in America. And they're everywhere. Sometimes you don't hear about them, but they're everywhere. And we're excited about Chicago and what God is already doing. And that date coming June, I believe it's June 14th. Looking forward to that day as that is started. Once you start, you don't take the next Sunday off. You keep right on going, don't you? And so that's a critical day. So we're praying for you folks as you go and are part of that church plant. I plan between now and then to be there and to knock on some doors. I won't probably be there when you're there, but looking forward to being there sometime this spring, early summer, and excited about what God is going to do in Chicago. And what a great, great city, needy city, And people kind of flee, but yet there are many that are fleeing in. Where the need is, let's go right in, okay? And let's not be afraid of the fire. Let's go running to the fire and believe God for great and mighty things. Well, your theme here in this Soul Winning Conference is Rescue the Perishing. And a lot of people have never heard that song and have never read or sung those words. So I thought I would bring it and start off with that. 671 in your hymn book. We won't sing, but I'd like you to see the words of 671. 671. And this is a Fanny Crosby song. She wrote so many good songs. And we love the hymns. We love the old time gospel message that come forth from good hymns. And this is one of the best. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Second verse. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting. Think of the people that just say no, no to Jesus. But still he waits. Still he beckons. Still he calls. Notice, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly. Plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried, grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more. Third verse, down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter. Notice that. Now the fourth, rescue the perishing. Duty demands it. Strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way. Patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. You know, that really ties in good with my message this morning. My message title is Telling the Sweetest Story Ever Told. Telling the Sweetest Story Ever Told. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning. And we are a Bible-believing church here. This is an old-fashioned Bible-believing church and a Bible-teaching church and a Bible-preaching church. Luke, in your Bibles, if you would, the second chapter. Some of you that know your Bible know that the second chapter is often referred to as the wonderful story of the birth of Christ. Luke chapter number 2. And here we have today a wonderful truth. Every Christmas time we gather around as a family, and we take Luke chapter 2, and we read this wonderful, wonderful message. We're going to start with verse 8, and since this is a Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching church, we use the Bible. I started off with a hymn, but that hymn is based on the Word of God. That's very important in your music, that it's based. It comes doctrinally and in every other way from the Word of God. Isn't that great? Rescue the perishing. And now the wonderful truth of telling the sweetest story ever told. If you know Christ as your Savior, you are privileged to go and tell. You are privileged. You're commanded. You're drawn to it. The Holy Spirit wants to speak through you. But you also are privileged and honored. It's a privilege to be saved. It's a privilege to tell somebody else about Jesus. And we saw that one gentleman get saved yesterday. I appreciate the couple there that knocked on that door and entreated that gentleman to receive Christ as his Savior. We weren't there to make him a Baptist. We were there to see him come to know Jesus as his Savior. Now, I don't know of a better church in town to go to. Amen? So the next thing is to invite him to the services and to see him follow through believer's baptism by immersion and have that beautiful picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that that is the gospel story. We call verses 1, 2, 3, 4, especially verses 3 and 4, we call that the gospel in a nutshell. Isn't that good? I grew up on that. The gospel in a nutshell. There it is, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. And it's simply the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You have to have all the parts of that wonderful gospel message to have the gospel. Amen? And what good would it have been if Jesus just died on that cross? We'd still be, of all men, most miserable. We'd be lost. Praise God. He was buried, and then he arose. That's the keystone of our faith, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The keystone of our faith. He's alive. And he was seen by over 500 witnesses. He's alive. Go and tell. Go and tell. Telling the sweetest old story. Sweetest old story. My mother's maiden name is Story. And sometimes people say a story, and it's not necessarily a true story. It's a story, but it's not true. It's fictional. But I'm going to tell you, this is the truest story. This biblical truth here in the Word of God is the truest story. If you're talking about truth, this is 100% proof. 100% true. The story of Jesus and how he left heaven's glory, the Son of God, and came down born in the flesh, incarnate, and then went all the way to Calvary. He was born to die. That's why he came. He was born to die. He lived a wonderful life, a wonderful testimony. No one could find true fault, even though many lied about him. No one truly could find any fault. I find no fault in him. He lived pure, sinless for 33 years and went all the way to Calvary to die for us. Isn't that wonderful? To die for us. The great sayings of the cross as he cried out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them. And he died forgiving us, forgiving us. And still this morning, all these hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later, he's still waiting. He's still knocking. Open up your door, your heart's door to Jesus. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And we're going to look down all the way to verse 14. Luke chapter number 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Notice these shepherds. Verse 10. And the angel said unto them, can you see this angel appearing before them in the night sky? The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let's pray. Father, we ask you to bless now these moments that we have together here this morning. I thank you for each and every one that has come out to Mountain Valley Baptist Church today. I pray for those many that would love to be here. I pray for those listening today also over the internet. I pray that you would just bless now this time that we have together in your word, that you would, again, Lord, as you promised, your word will not return void. And I pray that you would bless it in such a powerful, wonderful way. Thank you for this book that we hold in our hands. Thank you for the truth of the Word of God. Thank you for the challenge we've heard today to read our Bibles. And not only read them, meditate and memorize the Word of God. Study to show ourselves approved. Lord, I pray that you'll bless now these moments and use this time in a powerful, wonderful way. If there be one or more in this room that have never truly been saved, I pray that you'll bring them under great conviction. Bring them to the point of seeing their lost condition And Lord, they can rationalize, they can deny, they can listen to excuses, because the devil will fill our minds full of excuses. But Lord, I pray you'll bring them to a point of real conviction that they would say, I need to be saved. And that they would realize that today is the day of salvation, right here this morning, as we give an invitation for souls to be saved, that they would come and that we would be able to sit down and go through the wonderful plan of salvation that you gave us in your word, the Bible. Lord, I pray that you'll use that time together, that they would call on you and truly accept you as their Savior from sin. I pray you'll do that work now in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Now we see the wonderful story here, the sweetest story ever told. We see it starts here in this wonderful passage of Scripture. There are many other accounts, but in Luke chapter 2, we see the wonderful account where the Lord Jesus Christ left heaven's glory. He came here and was born of a virgin. He was sinless, and he lived his whole life sinless. And as he came, but his entry was not royal, even though he was the royal, most royal person on the planet. His entrance was very humble. But there was one thing that did take place. The angels showed up, and they brought their message to the shepherds. And as they noise that abroad, you can kind of picture the hilly, mountainous hillsides where they were keeping their flocks. And they came and they said, there's a wonderful story that's just beginning, and you can be part of it. Oh, how at first they were astounded as the night sky lit up as that angel came and then was joined by that angelic chorus. Glory to God in the highest. There's a royal birth taking place. There's royalty being born right now. Heaven's royalty. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, how excited they were. And so we have that one song that we do sing at Christmas time and other times of the year. It's called Go Tell It on the Mountain. Here we are in the valley, Mountain Valley Baptist Church, in this valley in Idaho, and surrounded by beautiful mountains. And we need to go and tell that message today on the mountains. As we're focused today on soul winning, we need to go to the mountains and tell them. You say, there's not too many people up there. But then we need to bring the message down in the valley. And I thank God for yesterday and how we went across this town and knocked on hundreds and hundreds of doors, I'm sure. And as we gave that message, it's the same old sweet story that's been told over and over and over and over. It was prophesied way back in the Old Testament. Did you know that? And so it's even older than the birth of Christ. That message was given from the very beginning. Oh, how man was created perfect, and God looked upon his perfect creation and rejoiced. And then man fell, man sinned, man transgressed against God's pure, holy message and life. And so God, being a just and holy God, he doesn't wink at sin. He being a just and holy God, had to remove them from that beautiful garden, and they fell. They fell. What a sad story. But yet God was not done. Right then at that moment, he could have said, I give up on mankind. At that moment, he said, it was a failed experiment. But instead, he said, no, I'm going to provide a way for man's escape. And that's where that truth of rescue the perishing comes in. Care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one. Lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. May that always be the theme of this church. May it always be rescue the perishing. Amen? And may it not just be talked about inside these four walls, but that message be told everywhere. From the mountains, and there are some folks up there, we need to go there, to the valley, and all over this great valley. Oh, what a great, great opportunity you have. All the way south, and all the way north, and everywhere you go, to the west and to the east. And may it go beyond the borders of Idaho, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. You're already sending missionaries. This church is young, but you're already sending missionaries. I think you started very early on sending out somebody to go across to a foreign field to tell people about Jesus. Why do we do that? Do we go there for a year or two? No. We go there, and many of these folks go, and they bury their heart on the mission field. They give their lives on the mission field. Isn't that great? Well, we ought to send our best, by the way. Our best ought to go to the mission field. Oh, may God use us. May we always have a burden for the lost that we'll never meet till glory. Can you imagine in heaven someday as we walk the streets of gold and somebody comes up and says, because of you, missionary so-and-so came to my country, to my village, and told me about Jesus. And I'm here today because somebody else cared to tell us that sweet old story. Are you telling the story today? Or are you keeping it to yourself? Well, I love it. I love the story, you say. Oh, it's the best story ever told. Oh, it's a wonderful story, but I'm going to keep it to myself. Oh, my friend, you and I, if we do that, we're going to stand and give an account to God someday because we did not do what he commanded us to do, and we kept it to ourselves. We were selfish. Selfish. That's a terrible thing to have to say, isn't it? Selfish. We kept it to ourselves. We would not share it. We wouldn't talk about our wonderful Savior. We talk about everything under the sun. Today, people know every person that's going to go play that game. They know every stat about them. I'm amazed at some of the people that know these stats. They're not the walking Bible. They're the walking NFL. But we that know the Bible, that we that are saved, we can't even give a peep about Jesus. Let's just talk about him. Let's just talk about him. Talk about him in your house. That's a good place to start. Talk about him at your house. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's sing about him. I love these old songs. Get a hymn book and sing about him all the time and read about him in his word. And the more you talk about him, pretty soon it'll burst out of the four walls of your house. Yeah. Wherever you go, you'll start talking about him. And you won't be ashamed. Well, the world is not ashamed. They swear, they cuss, they go on about all kinds of debauchery, and they hardly blush anymore. Shameless, right? No shame. But here we have the wonderful good news that Jesus saves, and to us, it's not religion. They call it, the world calls it religion. Oh, you're just religious. No, I'm not. Religion is man thinking he can make his way into glory by himself. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not anything that we can do. It's a free gift. Hey, I like giving gifts, don't you? The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive, right? I want to share the free gift of God. It's God's gift, but I get to share it. I get to be the delivery person. I get to knock on the door and say, free gift, here it is. Yeah. You know, there are a lot of people just waiting for somebody to come and tell them of Jesus. We found that yesterday. Just waiting. They need to be thoroughly brought through the scriptures. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a one-minute thing. But take them through the scriptures. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's go and tell it. They're just waiting. We just got to find out where they're at. Just keep going. And then there's some people that have to be convinced. But God is a great convincer. His Holy Spirit is the great convincer, isn't he? So go and say, Holy Spirit, talk to them on the inside while I talk to them on the outside. Go and tell. Go and tell. Go tell it on the mountain. Go tell it in the valley. And then when we see that wonderful old song, tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus, we just read it. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings to earth. The second verse leads us to our second point this morning. Fasting alone in the desert. tell of the days that are past. When did Jesus fast alone in the desert? Turn in your Bibles, also in the book of Luke. Let's go to Luke chapter 4, just a couple pages over. Luke chapter number 4, and we want to look at verses 1 and 2. Luke 4, 1 and 2, and here is Jesus fasting alone. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that are past, how for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Let me tell you quickly the story. Jesus, in his early ministry, as he prepared for that great ministry that he conducted in his life here on planet Earth, he went into a wilderness, a desert, to pray. And as he prayed, he got closer and closer and closer. I know that he was God in the flesh, but he spent that time communing with his Father, and how strengthened he was. He had the robe of flesh, folks, just like you and I. There he communed, he fasted and prayed. And then came those great temptations. Satan showed up, didn't he? And he tempted the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet Jesus endured every one of those temptations without yielding to sin. Why? Because he had been spending time with his Father. And he resisted. And the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And you get down to that 13th and 14th verse, and you see that the devil left him. And we find Jesus returned in verse 14. And he returned in the Spirit. He returned in the power of the Spirit. He conquered. He won over Satan and those temptations. Tell about that. Let's tell about our great sinless God, that great Savior who never sinned. Let's tell about it. Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that are past, how for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of his labor, tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. My friends, he was not poor in the power of God. He was rich in the power of God. And we can be rich in the power of God. May we not be as concerned about this world's wealth as we are concerned about rich in Jesus. Are you rich in Jesus? Well, first of all, if you're saved, you're the richest person in the world. You are. You are the richest person on planet Earth. And you have no idea yet what is in store for any of us, right? Eye hath not seen nor ear heard what God hath prepared for them that love him. Wow. Can't wait. Can't wait. Go tell. Go tell. Don't keep it to yourself. Remember, if you keep it to yourself, you're going to answer to God. I wouldn't want to do that. Go tell. Oh, I tell you, people have passed me by and I've been convicted. I didn't tell them of Jesus. I didn't tell them of Jesus when I had that opportunity. Oh, that's convicting, isn't it? Okay? But I must press on. Lord, forgive me. Help me to be a better witness for Jesus. That should be our response. And go on. If you have the opportunity to cross paths with that individual again, say, Lord, lead me to their path again. This time, I promise you, I will tell. I will tell. Lead me to some soul today. Oh, teach me, Lord, just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find their way. Amen? Look at all the avenues of ministry this church has. Look at all the outreach. On and on. The bus ministry, one of the greatest tools in modern history to bring people to hear the gospel. Praise God. Door-to-door soul winning. Oh, how important it is. It puts you in front of people. You say, I'm scared to death. You go. Just go with another soul winner and just go. You be the praying partner. You stand there and you pray. Keep your eyes open, but you pray. Pray that God will do something great. If there's some interference, you interfere. Maybe there's a child that is coming there and pulling on mama's dress, and you just say to them, hey, Let me tell you a wonderful story. It's in the Bible. And as you talk to the child, the other partner can be talking to the person there at the door. You see, it's so important. It's biblical. Biblical. But if you're all by yourself, don't stop telling people about Jesus, okay? Number two this morning, go tell. He was tempted and fasting, but he still leaves us a message of victory. Go tell. Go tell how he endured temptation without sin. Number three, we see here in Luke 23. Let's turn back to chapter 23. Go tell of his death, burial, and resurrection. Remember, what's the death, burial, and resurrection? That is the gospel in a nutshell. Luke 23:33. Luke 23:33 this morning. What a great passage of scripture. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, the thieves, one on each side, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and rulers also with them, derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself. If he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors, the thief, which were hanging there next to him, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. And the other thief, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. In verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, or truly, I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. What a story. Number three this morning, go tell. Go tell of the death, burial, and resurrection. You go to the next chapter, chapter 24, verses 1 through 6. You'll see he was buried. And then he arose in Luke 24. He arose from the grave victorious. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. That's my message. That's our message today. It's a simple message. People scoff at it. They say it's too simple. Too simple. We must have to do something. We must have to do something. No, you just accept a free gift. I have never worked for a free gift. I have never deserved a free gift. Really, truly, appreciate those who love me. But I have gotten many free gifts, but the best free gift I received was when I was 5 years old, raised in a preacher's home, so I heard the message all the time, heard the truth of the Word of God. God worked in my heart, and at age five, I came to my dad. We were having special meetings at our church with Dr. Monroe Parker, and I heard that message over and over and over that week, and I came to my father and I said, Dad, I need to get saved. My dad said, You're only 5 years old. Do you understand what it is to be a sinner? Do you think you're a sinner? Yes, I know I'm a sinner, and I know that only Jesus can save me. I know what John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I know what the Bible says. I know I'm a sinner, and I know only Jesus can save me, nothing else. He said, Well, if God's speaking to your heart during an invitation in one of these services, if God speaks to your heart, you walk forward, and we'll have someone sit down with you and take their Bible and show you again anew and afresh the wonderful, sweetest story ever told. And guess what happened? That night, I went. I sat next to my mother. I sat on the outside chair in that National Guard armory. We had to rent the armory. We had such a crowd that came. And I sat on the aisle, and I said, I'm getting saved tonight. Sitting next to my mother didn't save me. Even at the invitation, walking that aisle didn't save me. Even shaking hands with my father there, as he was the pastor of the church, didn't save me. Shaking hands with evangelist Monroe Parker did not save me. But I sat down in a side room, and they brought the scriptures anew and afresh before my eyes, and I knelt, and they said, Paul, just call on the name of the Lord. Ask Jesus to be your Savior. And I said, Lord, forgive me of my sin. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm lost without you. Lord Jesus, would you please save me? And the Lord Jesus Christ that night, I believe, came into my heart and life. And thank God for that free gift. What a gift, right? What a Savior. What a life. And now for 65 years, I thank God for his wonderful free gift of salvation. It's not religion, folks. It's not religion. It's salvation. Are you saved this morning? Are you saved today? Do you know him? Tell me the story of Jesus right on my heart, every word. Oh, my friend, do you know that sweet, wonderful story? For us that are saved, the application this morning is this. Go tell. Go tell. Don't talk about the weather. We're all concerned, I know, about the weather. But boy, it's been nice, hasn't it? But if it's snowing cats and dogs or raining cats and dogs or if the weather is just miserable, still go tell. Go tell. Go tell because every day somebody, in fact, the Bible says, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. They're falling into the pit of hell every second. Years ago, the statistic, I believe, was 83 people around the world every second died and went into eternity without Jesus Christ. 83 people a second. That's staggering, isn't it? Staggering. Tell, go tell. And then if you're here without Jesus, today is the day of salvation. Won't you come? You're amongst friends. Just come at this invitation. Pastor will come and lead us in the invitation. You come and you receive Christ as your Savior. There are folks right here in the front that know their Bible, and they'll be glad to sit down with you and take their Bible and show you how to be saved. And you can walk out of here a new creation, a new creature, the Bible says. New creature in Christ Jesus. And you can get what God did for me. He was so good. I didn't deserve it one bit. I was lost. I couldn't say I was a gangster at age 5, but I was lost in sin. Hopeless, undone, without any hope. Headed for an eternity without God in hell. That's what the Bible says. See, I don't like that word hell. But it's a Bible word. Jesus spoke about hell many, 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 many more times than he did about his own home in heaven. Why? Because he wanted to warn of that awful place. He wanted to warn people. He's a just and holy, but yet loving God. He does not want anybody to perish, including you. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Father, we thank you now for that sweet old story, the greatest story ever told. Lord, if we read many other stories, none of them compare to the sweetest old story that Jesus saves. Jesus came from heaven's glory to come and die on an old rugged cross, to allow his own creation, humans, to put him on that cross, but he willingly went. The night before he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup, or this great job of going to the cross, let it pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done. I thank you that you went. You went to that old rugged cross. You died there. You loved us. You care for us. You want us to be saved. And then you were buried and you rose again alive. And then you said, I'm going to go back to my Father and prepare a home for you. We thank you for the Gospel of John chapter 14. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You kept every other prophecy. You did everything the Old Testament prophesied you would do. And now we're waiting for that final, final return. Lord, we know it's soon, very soon. Lord, it would be such a shame to wake up one day and hear that millions of people around the world are missing. But we know that's exactly what you said is next. It would be terrible to realize you were left behind. I pray you'll work in hearts here this morning. I pray any boy or girl, any young person, any mom or dad, any lady, any man that has never received Christ as their Savior, that today they would make their way down one of these aisles. Lord, help the folks in their row there to allow them to get out to the aisle. And Lord, I pray that they would come down these aisles and receive you as Savior. I pray for us as Christians that we would be convicted about our message and maybe the neglect. But Lord, may that change today. May from this day forward we always have a gospel track. And may we always be willing to talk about this wonderful Savior, the sweetest story ever told. Help us to just simply say, you know what the Lord did for me? The wonderful story of salvation and how that Christ saved us. There's nothing more blessed and personal than telling what Jesus has done for us. Help us to be willing to tell it. Help us not to be ashamed of it. Help us not to be afraid. Help us to tell people. They're waiting. They're waiting. Someday they will be able to say, if we don't tell them, they'll say, no man cared for my soul. No man cared for my soul. Help us. Father, we pray that you'll bless now. Everyone, please, before the music plays, everyone,